A reading from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 to 14. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob, shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the winds from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water, on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, you nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. The grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, the young of the flocks and herds, they will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then young women will dance and be glad, young men old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. The reading is taken from chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Rather than start about by talking about New Year's resolutions broken already, a few suggestions for 2021. Peace starts with a smile. We were called to be witnesses, not lawyers or judges. Coincidence is when God chooses to remain anonymous. You get that? God promises a safe landing, not a calm passage. I think we've experienced that. And lastly, don't give God instructions, just report for duty. I think Will appreciate that. A word of prayer. Father God, we just come before you and ask, Lord, that you'd come by your Spirit, and that the words that are used, which are of man, Lord, would fall to the ground like autumn leaves. And Lord, that those words which are of you would touch our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been given the title of turning mourning into gladness based on the Old Testament reading. But I think turning mourning into gladness is a journey and a process with a place where we start and an ultimate destination where our mood and our attitudes are changed. And we all take part in it. I think over the years we have experienced periods of mourning and periods of gladness. Jeremiah the writer was not, as described recently by a friend, a glass half empty character. He was a glass three quarters empty character. For 40 years during the reign of Judah's last five kings, he warned of the coming disaster and appealed for people to turn back to God. In 587 BC, Nebuchadnezzar's army broke into Jerusalem, destroyed the city, and took the people captive into exile. Jeremiah could have gone with them and had a comfortable life in the court, but chose to remain in Judah. He eventually died in Egypt after the remnant fled there. He faced much opposition, especially when he prophesied that the Jews should settle down in captivity because they would be there for 70 years. However, I don't want to go into more detail, but I just want to look at the situation the Jews were in because I think we can draw a comparison with today. Then I want to return to Jeremiah's encouraging message and recognize how that points to something much bigger and much more wonderful than the return of the Jews from Babylon. I think the words shining from the gospel bring us to a place of gladness. The Jews were in exile when Jeremiah prophesied about a new future. He told them earlier, despite opposition, that they should accept exile, and they'd been taken from Judah to Babylon, which is in present-day Iraq, about 53 miles south of Baghdad. And they were cut off from their home. They were cut off from Jerusalem. They had a certain amount of freedom, but they were under a dictatorial regime and not allowed to live as they wished. Some, and we think of Daniel, were placed in high places, and God honored Daniel's decision to stand firm and follow the Lord even in exile. But the Jews were far from their homeland, and the writer of Psalm 137 captures the essence of it. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors asked for songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? They're in mourning for their homeland and long to go back to Jerusalem and resume a normal life. I don't want to try too hard to create comparisons, but I think there's a sense today that we live as in exile. We are cut off from what is normal. We'll talk about Christmas, being cut off. Listening to comments I've heard, many people say that they find this time extremely difficult, even though largely all our basic needs are being met. We can shop in a limited way. Work for many still goes on, but some have lost so much. I know many people who are concerned because their work has gone. And according to the Daily Telegraph yesterday, a record number are taking antidepressants. We are, however, incredibly blessed with the resources available to us compared with those in other countries and other places. We can still meet here at the moment. But on Christmas Eve, I sat in my study and had my quiet time, which I confess too often can just be praying a list. But this time, I told the Lord honestly about how I felt not seeing my children, not seeing my grandchildren, not seeing my great-grandson, not having an opportunity to sit round a table and have a meal with friends. And that revealed a flood of suppressed emotion. And I spent some time in tears. The penalty for hiding how you feel and repressing down on your emotions. But the Lord was faithful, and his peace like a blanket came over me and helped me through. Perhaps you think I'm a wimp. Well, that is your choice. But I long for things to go back to normal. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. 2,500 years ago, Jeremiah heard the voice of the Lord telling him to send a message of comfort to the exiled Jews, telling them that they would be brought back. And what a wonderful message it was. It is more than a message of being brought home. From verse 7 of Jeremiah 31, it points to a new covenant, one which replaces the old covenant of Sinai, a new agreement, a new way of doing things, one where people would not live under the burden of the law. Under the old covenant, the law was the basis of the Jews' relationship with God. It was written on tablets of stone. Under the new covenant, the law was written on the hearts of the believers through the work of the Holy Spirit. He changed lives. Remember from Ezekiel 36, verse 25, hearts of stone becoming hearts of flesh. Jeremiah prophesies that the way will be made smooth because God has revealed to him a much better way, a way that all can follow. And verses 8 and 9 are a picture of God's care for his people. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water, on a level path where they will not stumble. Matthew Henry writes, whenever God gives his people a clear call, he will either find them a way or make them a ready way. Correction, he will either find them or make them a ready way. 70 years after they'd been exiled, the Jews returned to the land. They came home, their exile was over. But there was a lot of work to be done. In a few months, our exile will end as the effects of the vaccine in an increasing number of us begin to erode the impact of the virus. The world will never be the same. There will be much work to be done, and I hope those in authority remember the lessons it has taught us. But we will rejoice in some semblance of normal life. 500 years after their return, the words of Jeremiah were fulfilled. And the Messiah, Jesus, was born. We celebrate this week wise men coming to worship him. We see the fulfillment in John's lyrical words of the gospel. John, and he was writing as an old man, still shows that gladness in his heart. These are words which make our hearts glad. Bruce Milne, an author and former Baptist minister, wrote of verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And this is what he said. This statement is one of the most significant and memorable ever penned. Its implications are limitless. It has provided the church over the centuries with a key to understanding the mystery of Jesus Christ. It represents the heart and climax of the gospel. I just want to give you a contrast with the way the Lord came into the world. Joyce used to work at the University of Aberystwyth, and they had a royal visitor one day. It was the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales. You can only begin to imagine the preparations which were put in place and the security checks. The staff were told how to behave, but the visitor was charming, everything went well, and people were happy. The Son of God, the King of Kings, came to live amongst us with no special arrangements, no royal carriages, and he was rejected by his people, and he died to save each one of us. I think it's an incredible thing. We all think it's an incredible thing, don't we? And it moves us to feel glad. But what about something else that the scripture said about us, which should encourage us? To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If I ask you who you are, what do you say? Do you say I'm a child of God, or do you say I'm John and I'm a teacher or something like that? You're a child of God, and that should make your heart glad. I know I'm a child of God, very simply because the Bible tells me so. I call God Father, or even Daddy, because that is what the Greek says. So I've described from moving from mourning to gladness as a journey. For Jews, it was Jeremiah prophesying that they'll return home, and then the actual journey. But he includes a wonderful promise of the coming Messiah. And these words at the beginning of John's Gospel articulate that so wonderfully. They bring gladness to our hearts. C.S. Lewis is beautifully low-key in his book, Surprised by Joy, about his journey of faith. And he writes, when we're lost in the woods, the sight of a signpost is a great matter. He who sees it first cries, look. The whole party gathers around and stares. But when we have found the road and we're passing a signpost every few miles, we shall not stop and stare. They will encourage us, and we shall be grateful to the authority that set them up. But we shall not stop and stare, or not much on this road, though their pillars are of silver and their lettering are of gold. He's pointing to that destination that is his journey of faith, because he finishes with, we would be at Jerusalem. For each one of us, there's that signpost which starts a journey out of sadness, a journey out of mourning, a journey out of lostness, to meet with Jesus, which makes our hearts glad. We know when it happens. It is that signpost, whatever form it takes, that brings gladness. I think for me it was a sense that there must be more than this. Spiritual life is so disappointing. It drove me to looking for a church where there was life. And I think we have an opportunity in so many ways to bring gladness to others. We could invite someone who's lost in the woods of this world to try Alpha, or maybe to start reading their Bible. Because knowing Jesus better by reading the Bible makes your heart glad. However, in all our journeys, remember God promises a safe landing, not a calm passage. And a word of prayer. A word of prayer because I started by, I mentioned people who are finding life difficult in this current pandemic. For some, they're really in a bad way. So Father God, whichever one of us needs your help, Lord, whether people in this building now or people watching online, I pray, Lord, you'd come and just bring your peace. Lord, that you'd overwhelm them with your peace. And bring their hearts from sadness to the joy of knowing you better. The joy of knowing your presence. Just remind people, Lord, you will never leave us or forsake us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.